Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about Israel's enemies in the past and especially today. We see that in the Torah, there are plenty of stories about Israel's wars. The enemies change, but the wars continue. And today, we don't have a dull moment either, neither when we're in the diaspora, not now that we live in Israel. And we'd like to see how can we bring peace upon ourselves and to the whole world. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, on our past show, we talked about Israel's enemies and how the Torah elaborates about it, and that the great enemy of Israel, the Amalek, is not only an external factor, but it's the force of separation that works within Israel, right within, among Israel, inside of us. It's the force of separation that appears, and on this show we'd like to see how that force that we read about in the Torah, that we defeated actually 3,300 years ago, more or less, it didn't end there. Right, exactly. So when we look at our reality here and now, we see that Israel still has many enemies all over the world. Not still, more and more. Right, we're having ever more enemies. And I'm really asking myself, is there a difference between the enemies that we had back then and the enemies that we have now? Did Israel's enemies change since back then, or since the times that we were in exile, and now that we came back to the land of Israel? Is there any difference in the way that the wisdom of Kabbalah sees this? No, there's no difference. Why should there be a difference? What's supposed to change? It's the same human nature, the same relations, the same world, and there's nothing new under the sun. And there's no change. So since then and forever, since the destruction of the temple and on especially, we're all the time deteriorating deeper and deeper into our ego, meaning that we're strengthening the Amalek inside us, our egoistic will to receive. We're making big efforts in order for it to grow stronger. We're dispersing this ego all around the world by all the different things that we're succeeding in: science, culture, education, trade, economy, and everything. By this, we increase the force of the Amalek in humanity. From generation to generation it grows. And we see that once each and every nation reaches a certain degree of development, it starts hating us. Which is really interesting. Why do they suddenly start hating us? Because their ego grew in order to now start correcting itself by connecting inside the nation. And the connection doesn't come because Israel, as the light onto the nations, do not give them the method of correction, and therefore they hate us in return. Instead of coming to us as students, appreciating us, this is how it is. What, Israel having to be light onto the nations, it means what, that it has to fight its enemies? No, it means that it has to give each and every nation and the world in general the method of correction. Because by our connection, we can receive the upper light, and that's called light onto the nations. We see that Israel, in order to feel safer and stronger today, they're developing new weapons, different political strategies. There are different ways to enhance Israel's security. How is that related to? I don't think that it helps us much, but it only saves us for some time. So in the meantime, we'll think, feel, and understand that our future depends on our connection. both back then and also today. This is actually always has been and is our savior. How does Israel have to respond today? We only have to connect amongst us. To the extent to which we become connected, the entire world starts treating us in a good way. To the extent to which we grow apart, the whole world hates us. So let's try and understand the situation. Let's look at the world. We see that lately, hatred towards Israel is growing. We see it every day on the news, another escalation. And I'm asking myself, wait a moment, what's going on? Amalek woke up where? In them, in me. How should I analyze this? First of all, in me. The Amalek awakens in me. My ego awakens. I'm not taking care of it. I'm not restraining it. I'm not correcting it. I'm not turning it into the force of good, the force of connection. We're growing apart ever more inside our nation, hating each other, and correspondingly, the nations of the world come against us, wanting to finish us off, because they see that nothing good comes to humanity from us, and therefore instinctively, naturally, everyone hates us. All the 200 and something countries in the world, they all hate us. It's really an intriguing phenomenon. Now, looking at our situation today, what process we as the people of Israel have to go through today in order to eventually understand how can we reach the state of peace, tranquility, on the one hand, greater and greater pressure, on the other hand, explanation. Pressure, I see we don't have to increase it, thank God we have enough of that. No, I talk to the Israelis, they say everything's fine, what's wrong? We're strong, we don't have to care about anything. They can try and do whatever they want. We'll manage. So what's the process that Israel has to go through? Explanation. Explanation about why are we inviting such great hatred against ourselves? The matter of peace. Sometimes it seems so far away. What peace? We have to reach peace between us, and then there's going to be peace also between us and our neighbors, our enemies, our haters, and so on. Friends, doesn't matter who. What's the connection? The connection is that there will be no peace with anyone until we'll have peace amongst us. Why? Because this is how we're built. Again, we're not an ordinary nation, being the offsprings of some ancient mom and dad that lived in some cave from where we all came from. The Romans, the Italians, the Ukrainians, the Uzbekians, the French. No. We did not come from one family, and therefore we have no natural proximity between us. We don't naturally feel close to each other. All in all, we're artificially connected. Abraham, our patriarch, he gathered all the representatives from the nations that lived in ancient Babylon, and he taught them how to connect above all differences, for love to cover for all crimes. And since then, we're connected artificially. The moment that artificial connection falls apart, we don't feel that we belong to one nation at all. And if not for our enemies that force us like sheep in the presence of wolves to gather together, if not for that, then we would have separated a long time ago, not wanting to look at each other at all. Previously, you mentioned the times of the destruction from 2,000 years ago, after the destruction of the temple. We dispersed among many countries in the world, and there were Jewish communities everywhere. And we see that back then, Israel also had enemies, and as as it says in the Pesach Haggadah, that each and every generation, someone wants to destroy us. And the story is repeating itself. And 100 years ago, Jews started coming here to Israel. We established a country. Jews from all over the world came here. And maybe we're artificially connected, as you put it. The connection is that we're all on the run. Yeah, we're running away from problems and troubles, and since then we see that there are wars all the time. And also in between the wars, things aren't that great. And we have many casualties. So, what's going on? What's up with that? Nothing's up with that. Nothing. Sorry, it's like we said on the beginning of the show, it didn't start today or when we were in exile, but these wars started in the Torah. It's endless, endless until you reach the correct decision that you have to keep what it says in the Torah, to be as one man and one heart in mutual guarantee, and to demand the reforming light. That's called the Torah. I've created the evil inclination, as it says. I have created the Torah spice because the light in it reforms. Where is that light of Torah that will work on us? What is it meant for? Against the evil inclination. It has to connect us. This is what we have to do. A method of how to connect above all the differences, above all the hatred, is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. And it gives us the ability to do this. And the method itself is called Avodat Hashem, the work of God, literally meaning that we have to perform the work that God gave us in order for us to connect between us, and also by being light onto the nations to help this method spread to all the world, to all the nations, and by this we get rid of anti-Semitism. And on the contrary, as it says in the prophecy of Isaiah, all the nations of the world will come to Israel, take them on their shoulders, and take them to Jerusalem. We're talking about wars, but we want to reach a state of peace. And when we talk about peace, there's the well-known verse. He who makes peace in his high places, he shall make peace upon us and upon all of Israel. So from here I understand that God wants there to be peace. His force is the force of peace. His name is Shalom, peace. So if the Creator wants there to be peace, why isn't there peace? He's God, I mean. There's no peace because we're not demanding it. We're not asking for it. But we pray a lot for peace. No. That's just so. I don't see that anyone is working towards peace. I see that Judaism is all disputed with an endless amount of denominations and kinds and types, and they're all against each other, and they have inner wars between them, and also between the seculars and the religious. There's no other such internally disputed nation as ours. And as long as this is how we are, there will be no peace. What does it mean to correctly pray for peace? Peace. Shalom comes from the Hebrew word shlemut, perfection, for us to feel ourselves as one man and one heart, as brothers, that there's no difference between all of us. In one heart, one desire, one thought. Why is that important? My aspiration for peace, because this is what we have to bring the entire world to. But we are a unique group in the world that has to achieve the peace and set it as an example for everyone. We have to be teachers to the entire world. That's called to be light unto the nations. I lost you. I asked, If God wants for there to be peace, and you said that God's quality is peace, why doesn't he make peace? You said that he doesn't make peace because we don't want peace. If we'll want peace, he'll make peace, right? Yes. Let's zoom in on this. If we'll want peace, this is the key sentence. We want peace. We want for no one to come and attack us and kill us, and I don't want to send my son to the army. And like I was told that when you'll be a grown-up, there will be no more wars. I have to tell him the same, and he's going to the army soon again. And we see that each and every war is harder and harder. So the aspiration for peace, for no one to want to destroy us, this is something that we have. But you're saying that we don't want peace between us. I'm less interested in the peace between us, between the different denominations in Israel. This is something that you can't get out of. For two Jews, there are three opinions. If you can't get out of it, then forget about peace. No, you took my question and you put it in a different ballpark. I said, I don't want enemies. You said, you have to first have peace within. Mister, there is a human system that you have to start it from within. If you will make peace among the people of Israel, inside the people of Israel, between everyone, to the same extent, you will be able to force our enemies, not the internal ones, but the external ones, to treat us the same way. This seems much harder. We already signed a peace agreement with Egypt, but within the people of Israel, if we look at what happens within the people of Israel, we're only becoming more and more separated. I grew up in a religious community. I remember that I lived in Bnei Brak, the city of Bnei Brak, for a few years. When you cross from neighborhood to neighborhood, you really feel hostility. What I'm trying to understand is you're giving me a mission impossible. You're saying that until you have peace among the people of Israel, you won't be able to reach peace with your enemies. True. But you have the upper force that on purpose, deliberately, has formed your ego and everyone else's too, and is arranging frictions, disputes, problems, collisions, resistance on purpose, so that you will ask for that upper force to appear amongst you. He who makes peace in his high places, he shall make peace upon us and upon all of Israel. Ask. This is exactly the reason why he's giving you a hard time, for you to want to bring him closer, for him to become revealed and dwell among the people of Israel within the nation. But that's not my problem. My problem isn't having bad relations with other Israeli communities. What bothers me is if I'll be attacked from Gaza or from Lebanon. We define the problem differently. Our problem today, my fear today is, what I fear is our external enemies. Won't help you. First of all, you have to make inner peace, achieve inner peace. You can prepare yourself for war for another 1,000 years if you'll be led to do so from above, because this plan is a short-term plan. If you don't arrange the right relations here among the people of Israel, between all the different denominations, we'll be sent into exile again. Again, I'm trying to understand the way you look at our security issues. There are those that say that God will fight for you. No point investing in weapons. We don't have to take care of the army that much. We have to use psalms against missiles, as certain communities here in Israel say. It's impossible, because as long as we're not strong in the psalms, so to speak, in the spiritual part of our connection, then we also have to be strong corporeally in terms of missiles and so on. And the example is King David, that even though that he was great and he wrote the Psalms, and altogether the level on which people were on back then, still he fought for 40 years. so I don't just take verses from the Torah and start using them in whatever way I want. So what are you talking about when you say that only arming ourselves won't be able to bring peace? That's because we have no other choice. In the meantime, that we have no spiritual force, then the corporeal force serves as a deterring force. What is the spiritual force? The force of connection between us that chases away all of our enemies. I have to understand, the spiritual force can chase away our enemies. Even that I'm repeating your words now, it sounds kind of... Try. Who told you that it's not so? What can you lose? You're not losing anything. Start activating the force of connection among the nation through good, nice education that speaks about the love of Israel and not only about how to keep certain corporeal actions, but about the love that has to exist inside of Israel. That's the main thing. If there will be love among the people of Israel, then you can check how the number of our enemies decreases. And the car accidents and the relations between people inside Israel and the different problems that we have with the Arabs and at our borders and everything. You don't have to change anything. Just examine, check how increasing the connection works for the better in all other fields. Do you see yourself as a naive or optimistic person? No, why naive? You're saying that if the people of Israel start loving each other, there will be less car accidents, for sure. Better relations between people, for sure. I'm sure that everyone will agree. Obviously, you're right. So do it. Obviously, you're right. So why don't you do it? Why don't we do it? That's a different problem. But let's take it one step at a time. I'm asking, if the people of Israel will start loving each other, then not only instead of wanting to kill each other, people here will smile to each other. Obviously, but it will also influence our enemies. They will come to help you with everything. Why? Because you are bestowing good to the world, connection to the world. Not to the world, you're doing it inside your own country. No. It'll influence them too. How? Because we are the representatives of the 70 nations of the world. And if we connect, then through these spiritual roots, by which we're connected to all the nations of the world, we pass this feeling, this knowledge onto them. I don't understand. We're not a people. We are the representatives of the 70 nations of ancient Babylon that connected under Abraham, our patriarch, into a group. We connected above all differences, meaning that we have two roots. One root is that of the 70 nations of the world within us. The other root is the connection. If we connect from this connection, through the roots of the 70 nations, beneath the surface, we're connected to all the nations of the world. They feel that, now there's a special force in Israel, the force of good, that finally the Jews started doing something good. I want to depict a picture and tell me where am I wrong. God forbid, when there's a war, in every war there are a few moments that it's felt that the entire nation is in one state. Suppose the last war in Gaza, or when the three young children were kidnapped, and so on and so forth. And then there's a feeling that all of the people of Israel, because of the mutual problem that's so great, it as if takes over all of our minds and hearts and worries. At the very same time, you see on television that candies are being handed out, in Gaza. So here you have all of the people of Israel united, and I don't see that it influences our neighbors for the better. I see that when we have a national catastrophe, I see that the other side celebrating, but you're saying that when we will connect the people of Israel, it will pass on to the other side, but they have a celebration there. I understand them too, only it contradicts the model that you've just explained. When we connect here, it will influence them for the better. Where did you connect? In times of tragedy, disaster? No. I'm talking about connection out of love, out of connection, not because I'm pressured from all sides and I have no choice, and like a herd of sheep, we're under pressure and we connect because there are wolves all over. That's not called love. That's called escaping the threat. So what connection are you talking about? I'm talking about a connection called love covers for all crimes, that we enter a connection between us as it fits and suits the people of Israel to be connected. Describe it a bit. How is it different than being connected because we're escaping a mutual problem? We start awakening our national love, that we don't need any external threat, but we get such education that we feel and understand that we're a special nation, that we have to reach connection in order to give contentment to the entire world and also to the Creator. He who makes peace in his high places, he shall make peace upon us. We started with that, let's finish with that. He who makes peace in his high places shall make peace upon us. According to our demand. What demand? For him to make peace in his high places, for him to make peace upon us. For him to bring perfection, shalom, peace, coming from the Hebrew word shlemut, perfection, completion. For him to turn us into a complete and perfect mechanism. All of Israel and the entire world, because Israel are actually dispersed all over the world. This is what we need. How does your world view fit or doesn't fit both people that believe in God and people that don't believe in God, secular and also religious people? I don't turn to secular or religious people. I'm turning to any Jew. And your message is what? That we have to be connected, and then we and the entire world will reach a good and nice connection, and by that, we shall truly reach an utterly good world. We shall discover a new world, a different world. We have to do it, and unless we do it, great torments will force us to do it, and that's unpreferable. So what should we focus on? To disperse the method of correction, to educate the people for correction, for connection. This is what we need. This is what the people of Israel need. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Nitza. Thanks for being with us.